Here, this is part three of it. So if you hadn't seen the first two, it's okay. You're not missing anything. You can go back and watch those messages either online at churchesaid.com, and then you can also go to hfchurch.com and see the podcast of it. Listen to the podcast. And so what we're doing, we're in a part three of the 8-part series called The Overcoming Life. And because of what Jesus accomplished at the cross, and as a believer in Him, victory belongs to you today. Look at somebody and say, victory belongs to you. You need to know that. But you still have to claim it by faith, because the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. So we're learning how to overcome fear, how to overcome rejection, how to overcome comparison, how to overcome shame, unforgiveness. Today we're going to learn how to overcome discouragement. And so look at somebody and say, be encouraged today. And we're also going to learn how to, we're going to learn how to overcome sickness. Last Sunday we learned how to overcome doubt. And so I want to start it off, and I've asked the somebody if I can share their story this morning. But we're sitting in the presence of greatness today. A lot of greatness is in the house today. Because we're blessed here at Leidy High School. With state academic team, state sports, state music, state drama, theater, and a lot of things have transpired this week. Our girls softball team are going to state. They won regionals. Give them a big hand clap. Brooke, Carmen, John, are you part of that too as well? Yeah. Who else in here? Emily, Bree over here. They're all going to state in softball. Then in baseball, I went down and watched them beat Granite. I guess that would have been Thursday evening. Watched them beat Granite. Will's back there shaking his head at me. They beat him, and then Granite came back on the loser's side because they only take one, goes to state. They came back, and they had us down Friday 7-2 going into what inning was it, Will? Sixth, into the sixth inning, and we come back and beat them 8-7. And so we've got, I see Colton back there, who else in here? Will, Parker, all the guys in here that are going to state. So give them a big hand clap this morning. They're going to state. They had to overcome some discouragement in that game to win. And you can learn a lot from sports and overcoming discouragement. And then our state music, we have two here. They got a superior rating of 1 at state, and that was Emily and Jonna in the ensemble choir. Is that right? Yeah. So give them a big hand clap. Man, we just got a lot of them. And then the person that I wanted to start off my message with today, and I asked if I could share her story, was Grace Ward. She was in state being a gymnast. Yeah, we have a gymnast in Leidy. Can't believe that. And she's been doing awesome. And has to travel all over for that. But she won state in the floor exercise, number 1 in state. Yeah, give her a big hand clap. And she was 3rd all around, coming from Leidy, all right? But I asked her, and I was talking to her dad, Mark, this morning before service, and I asked Grace if I could share her story. Because you talk about that sport, I've watched just a little, I don't know a whole lot about it, I've just watched a little bit of it on TV, and Grace told me something this morning. I said, you know what, that'll preach, and that'll teach. She said, our coach tells us that we can't look at our score as we're doing our events, and because here's the reason why, because if you look at your score, you can get discouraged. Doesn't want them getting discouraged during the meet. And she told me, she said, but I did peak at one of my scores. And she was talking about her, what happened was on the vault. The beam. Was it the beam? The beam is where you looked at the score. And the beam, she did the vault first, is that right? And then the beam. And here's what happened on her beam. And I think Mom and Dad have posted the video of it. But she fell. She slipped, had a slip. And then she had to get right back up there and finish her routine. And here's the deal, you can't carry that over to the next event, because the next event was her floor, and then she overcomes discouragement and then go kicks the floors, you know what, and wins state in it. And I told Grace, I said, Grace, I've got to share that story this morning because it goes with my message about overcoming discouragement. So give Grace a big hand clap for winning state. That was awesome. Okay, we're going to turn in Scripture, and congratulations to all the people. I mean, we're just blessed around here for all the kids, and I know it takes parents too, and going to state and all that, and that'll be happening this weekend. But 1 Samuel chapter 30, and starting in verse 1, we're going to see where David was having a very bad day, and he needed some encouragement. It says, David and his men reached Ziklag on the third day. That just sounds like a place to have a bad day, doesn't it? Ziklag. It says, now the Amalekites had raided the Negev and Ziklag. They had attacked Ziklag and burned it and had taken captive the women and everyone else in it, both young and old. They killed none of them but carried them off as they went on their way. When David and his men reached Ziklag, they found it destroyed by fire and their wives and sons and daughters taken captive. And in verse 4, it says, so David and his men wept aloud until they had no strength left to weep. I don't know if you've ever wept like that, but I've been there and done that, have the T-shirt and the cap. And that's how strong this day of discouragement was. And in verse 5, it says David's two wives had been captured. Hard name, whatever her name is, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David was greatly distressed because of the men were talking of stoning him. Each one was bitter in spirit because of his sons and daughters. You talk about a bad day. His best friends are wanting to stone him. But David found strength, and this is the key, but David found strength in the Lord his God. Then David said to Abiathar, the priest, the son of Amalek, bring me the ephod. And Abiathar brought it to him. And David inquired of the Lord, shall I pursue this raiding party? Will I overtake them? And pursue them, God answered, you will certainly overtake them and succeed in the rescue. So that's 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 8. And I want you to notice the first person that the Lord that David goes to is the Lord. He doesn't go to people. He doesn't go to anybody else. He goes to the Lord. And here's my sermon in a sentence today, one of them. We're going to have two of them today. This is actually two sentences, but it's one thought. Discouragement is not a condition, it's a choice. That's the lesson that we get from David in this 1 Samuel 30, verses 1 through 8. Discouragement is not a condition, it's a choice. Yeah, the conditions were horrible, that didn't look good, but David had to make the choice. We're going to be encouraged in this situation. I'm going to go encourage myself in the Lord. Now, I'm going to give you three keys to overcoming discouragement today. So if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, you just go 1, 2, and 3. And this first one is very, very, they're all important, but this first one kind of sets the presence for the other two as well. But number one, you have to have a Godward mindset. You got to have a Godward mindset. Psalm 16:80 says, I keep my eyes always on the Lord. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. That was David writing that psalm, Psalm 16. In fact, here's a little side note for you. There's 150 psalms, and David wrote 73 of them. And they're psalms of worship and just praise and adoration towards God. And prayers is what they are. And this is Psalm 16:8, where David wrote, I keep my eyes always on the Lord, a Godward mindset. With him at my right hand, I will not be shaken. David lived his life with this. The Bible says he was a man after God's own heart. And the reason why was he constantly had a Godward mindset. He believed this, God is good, God is with me, and God is for me. You need to write that down. God is good, God is with me, and God is for me. I don't care what's going on in your life right now. You may have came in this place today very discouraged, but here's your encouragement. God is good, God is with you, and God is for you, no matter what's going on in your life right now. Amen? Look at somebody and say, be encouraged. All right. Now, I'm going to turn to one of these psalms, and I'm going to put it up here for you. It's Psalms 59. We're going to read a few scriptures from this. And David was a young man that I'm just kind of giving you a paraphrase in his story here to catch you up. Most of, I think, if you've been in church any length of time, you kind of know the story of David. But David was the youngest of Jesse's sons. His dad was named Jesse, and he was the eighth son. And the day that Samuel, the prophet, came to town and was looking for the next king of Israel, God told him to go to Jesse's house. So he went to Jesse's house. Jesse had his seven sons stand up. Some of them were big old strapping young men with broad shoulders. Some of them had some military training already and all this. And Samuel was looking at him from the outward appearance and going, man, that guy would make, he just looks like a king. And God said, no, I haven't chosen him. That's not the one. And so finally he got down to the seventh son, and he looked at Jesse. He said, do you have any more boys? And he said, well, yeah, I got my youngest ones out in the field taking care of the sheep. And he said, I need you to send for him. And so he sent for him. And as soon as he walked in, God told Samuel, this is the one. Anoint him to be the king of Israel. And they say at that time he was probably 12 to 13 years old at that time when this happened. And then I'm trying to speed up this whole story. But he goes and defeats Goliath, and then he's with Saul. He becomes part of the government of Israel at that time. He's with Saul. King Saul becomes very jealous of David because the people are saying Saul's killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000. So King Saul has this demonic jealousy going on. There's office politics going on, and throwing spears at him, trying to kill him. And so what ends up happening here is King Saul and David even joins the enemy's camp. He goes and joins the Philistine. Goliath was a Philistine. Even after he killed Goliath, he went and joined the enemy's camp just to try to get away from Saul, get away from his own people. And King Saul had a group of guys, mercenaries, and sent them out. I want you to go kill David. I want you to go kill him. And so here's David writing Psalms 59. So I kind of gave you this backstory. And here's, I want you to get this mindset, not only this Godward mindset, but the mindset of David. David was like, why is this man trying to kill me? Because all I want to do is help him. That was really David's heart. I'm just here. God put this on me. I didn't ask for it. I didn't sign up for this. And I'm just here to help him. But King Saul had a demonic jealousy upon him. And some of you may be fighting some of that jealousy at work. And I'm telling you, jealousy is not from God. Amen? It's not. And so here's David praying in Psalms 59. He says, deliver me from my enemies, O God. Be my fortress against those who are attacking me. Deliver me from evildoers and save me from those who are after my blood. See how they lie in wait for me. Fierce men conspire against me. For no offense or sin of mine, Lord, I have done no wrong, yet they are ready to attack me. Arise to help me, look on my plight. Then down in verses 8 through 10 it says, but you laugh at them, Lord. You scoff at all those nations. You are my strength. I watch for you. You God are my fortress and my God on whom I can rely. God will go before me, and I will let me gloat over those who slander me. So basically what David was saying in this prayer, God is good, God is with me, and God is for me. Everybody see that? Grace has got it. Grace has got it. She's going to say that in our next meet. God is good, no matter what happens on the beam or on the vault or on the floor, God is good, God is with me, and God is for me. Amen. It's not about performance. It's about your relationship with him. And I'm going to talk more about performance here in a little bit. So that was what David was praying. And I want you to notice David had a Godward mindset, even in that most discouraging time. He kept a Godward mindset. Now, if you're taking notes, I'm going to leave this one up here for just a little bit. This is what happens when you keep your mind on God. Number one, you have instant encouragement and a new perspective when you keep your mind on God. The enemy wants you to have a godless mindset. And he's very good at this, even with believers. That you see your situation, your circumstance, your first thought is not about God. You have a godless thought, so you ended up being discouraged, and you don't have the right perspective. But if you keep your mind on God, you will have instant encouragement and a new perspective. Number two is you develop increased faith and decreased worries and fears when you keep your mind upon God. I know we have some seniors in here today that are graduating. And I can remember being in your shoes and scared to death of the future and not knowing where God was going to take me. And here's what I want to tell you today. Keep your mind upon God. He's got your steps planned out for you already. So just keep your mind upon him. And I put some scriptures there for you to look up. Proverbs 23:7 just says, for as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. So keep your mind upon God. Isaiah 26:3 talks about a person who has their mind upon God will be at peace. If you're not at peace, If you're not at peace, whatever you're going through today, if you're not at peace, I can tell you right now, you've got your mind upon your situation, your circumstance, your discouragement, and you don't have it upon God. And everybody said, amen. All right. Number three is you find a new way of speaking and acting. And this is Hebrews 11:6, and I made a typo on this, so that's Psalms 118, verse 24, not 34, but 24. Hebrews 11:6 says, what pleases God is our faith. And Psalms 118, verse 24 talks about, this is the day that God has made. We're going to rejoice and be glad in it. You need to get up every morning with that scripture on your heart, no matter what's going on. Well, I'm going to get up and praise you, God, no matter what's going on. You've got to train your mouth to speak this way. You got to train your mind, then your mind will start speaking that. All right? Find a new way of speaking and acting. And thank God, if you're married in here and you have a spouse, or if you're not married, get an accountability partner, a faith accountability partner, because Jada will start telling me, okay, we've got to change our speaking and our acting, because I might be speaking negatively over situations. And certain, we're good for one another. We help one another in that department. Something else that Jada does at our home, and I'll just give you, we have a channel that has Christian music, just Christian music. She'll put that on and just fill our home with praises of God, and that helps. All that helps renewing your mind and getting you in the right frame of mind, because here's where a lot of believers, and I'm talking to believers today, where a lot of believers live in this area. You find a new way of speaking and acting because we're programmed to, the default is to be negative. And so we kind of have, I don't know, how many of you in here remember Hee-Haw? All right? You take that, some of you do. You take that over, some of you need to Google it and watch it on YouTube. Not right now, you do it later in the day. But there's a scene in there where those guys get on there and they sing that, gloom, despair, and agony on me. Deep, dark depression, excessive misery. If it weren't for bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Gloom, despair, and agony on me. That's what they would sing. That was kind of the chorus. And that's the way a lot of Christians live their lives, too, is that you talk to them, and, you know, there's some people you go up to and like, I don't want to talk to them because I know the gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, they love Jesus. They're going to go to heaven, but they can't get over that, and we got to get over that. Amen? You've got to get over that. That's how you overcome discouragement. Number four is you become an encourager to other people. When you get over speaking that way, the negativity, the hee-haw song, just when you start, here's a key word. When somebody starts getting negative around you, somebody that's heard this message with you, because they have to get it, just look at them and say, hee-haw, all right? And so that means turn it off and change the tune. But when we do that, when we change the tune and we start speaking faith-filled words, positive words, then we become an encourager to other people. Your voice is your microphone over your own life. I'm going to say that again. Your voice is your microphone over your own life. Quit waiting for other people to speak encouraging words over you. You do it yourself. Amen? All right, number five is you destroy the power of the devil to oppress you in any way. And I laid out some scriptures there for you. But Psalms 149 basically talks about praise. And when you praise, it defeats the enemy. Hebrews 4, verse 12 talks about the word being sharper than any two-edged sword. So you need to have the word stored up in your heart. And then Psalm 61:3 tells us that we need to put on the garment of praise. You're not going to have the garment of praise on you by default. You have to put it on every day. I'm going to praise God no matter what goes on. Put on the garment of praise. Everybody got that? That's number one, having a Godward mindset. And if you need these notes later, I can get them to you, because I know that was a lot going on there right there. All right, here's the second key to overcoming discouragement. Have realistic expectations. I'm going to explain that. Realistic expectations. Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, Jesus said himself, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you're going to have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. And so what Jesus was basically saying there, and here's my other sermon in a sentence, there will be a fight, but you will win. There will be a fight, but you will win. I'm going to say it again. There will be a fight, but you will win. And that's what happened in David's life in 1 Samuel chapter 30. I love the Apostle Paul understood this. He had realistic expectations. Romans 5, verses 3 through 4, he says, not only that, but we also glory in tribulations or troubles, knowing that troubles produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. So the perspective of overcoming, advancing believers, which I believe all of you all are this morning, is this: expect difficulty, then victory. That's realistic expectations. There's going to be a fight, but you will win. Look at somebody and say, there's going to be a fight, but you will win. Okay. Now, here's the problem. Here's the two perspectives, if you're taking notes, two perspectives of overcome, discouraged believers. Number one is the people that walk around expecting victory without difficulty. That's unrealistic expectations. That's not realistic. That's not how it goes in life. You got to expect difficulty, then victory. That's realistic expectations. Well, I know I started off using sports as an illustration, and you can learn a lot from sports, and I love sports, but you can learn a lot, you know, in life about by playing sports. And one of the things I always told Taya whenever, and God was so good and so faithful, it didn't happen all the time, but it happened more than not, I can tell you that. And I said, honey, if you'll pay your dues in pitching, and if you'll pay your dues in the batting cage and bat in practice, you know, we're in here talking about practice, Allen Iverson. We're in here, and I am talking about practice. Whenever you, and I kept preaching to her, I said, if you pay your dues, if you will pay your dues, then God will honor you. Promise. It just works that way. Now, the kids that don't go to the field and they don't practice and they don't practice hitting, they don't practice their pitching or whatever position you're in, believe me, you're not going to get in those game moments where it's on the line and you're the one up to the plate. I don't know how this, but I've told Tay and I've preached this to her, and it seemed like in those kind of moments, my daughter would be at the plate or have the ball in her hand to win the game, and God would come through. And it was just, I know I'm bragging. Here's dad bragging on his daughter. I know that we all bragging our kids playing sports, but it was just confirmation to her that what daddy's been preached to, if you pay your dues, then God will honor you. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, so we got to be able to expect, you're going to have to expect difficulty, then you can expect victory. And I love what 1 Peter 4, the Apostle Peter, what he told the people, the believers of his day, because people were walking around surprised and shocked that they were going through things. They thought they were supposed to have immediate victory. And he says, dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on you to test you as though something strange were happening to you. But rejoice inasmuch as you participate in the sufferings of Christ so that you may be overjoyed when his glory is revealed. Now, God don't test people. I don't believe that at all. Life does. We live in a fallen world. And so expect difficulty because we live in a fallen world, but also expect victory because you're a son or daughter of the Most High God. Amen? All right. Here's number two, the second thing that people do. Some people walk around in life, and they're the ones that sing the hee-haw song. They expect difficulty without victory. Okay? Jesus told us, guys, I have given you victory in my name. Luke 10, verse 19 says, I have given you the authority to trample on snakes and scorpions and to overcome all the power of the enemy. That's talking about the enemy's camp. Nothing will harm you. He said, when you use my name because I have given you that authority to do that. And then Romans 8, 37, the Apostle Paul said, no, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Look at somebody and say this because somebody needs to hear this today. God wants you to win in life. God wants you to win in life. Tell her, Dusty. Amen. He's back here telling Betty this morning. Okay, here's the third key to overcoming discouragement is, and this is a big one, faith in God's grace. Faith in God's grace. This goes back to also Grace's story. It's funny that I'm using grace right here. This faith in God's grace is when Grace told me that our coach doesn't want us to look at the score because he just wants them, or she, whoever it is, just go out there and have fun and do your stuff. Don't look at the score. And I love that because that relates over to, performance. When you're looking at the score, it's all about performance. And what God wants us to do is just to obey whatever he's told us to do. Not perform, to obey. It's not about performance. The Bible says we're not saved by works or our performance. We're saved by grace. And some of us forget that. We get that religious spirit on us and we think, oh, well, you know, I'm doing pretty good. I've arrived. No, we're all saved by God's grace. We don't deserve it, but he gave it to us. And so I have faith in God's grace. And that's in going on in Psalms 59, what I read earlier about David. David cried out and said, my God of mercy shall come to meet me. Now, we all know and we remember, and thank God we do, you know, everybody, you know, we think about King David. He is the king that was the God. He was the man after God's own heart. But I'm going to tell you something about David. When you study his life, this guy had a problem with lust. I just read in 1 Samuel 30 where he had two wives. Not smart. he had a problem with lust. You can read the story about him and Bathsheba, all that. He had a problem with pride. He had a problem with violence. And yet, God loved him. And then what I love about David is he had faith in God's grace. That is what I love about David. It's not about performance, guys. And some of us were right, and you know, everything in life, whether it's sports or you know, on your job, it seems like everything today is done by performance, and we take that over into our relationship with God, and we have to. You may have been raised in a home where it was all about performance too, but here's the deal: in God's kingdom and in our relationship with him, it's not about performance or works; it's about his grace and having a relationship with him. And here's just to let you know about Revelation 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by their performance. No, it does not. It says, and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. It's not by performance. It's by grace. You got to have faith in God's grace. Look at somebody and say, have faith in God's grace. Don't let anybody put that performance on you. Amen. I used to do that. I'm going to just be honest with you. I used to do that as a pastor. I was just like, you know, I felt like early in my ministry, I would get up here and try to perform and do all these things. I felt like, what's his name on Gladiator? Are you not entertained? You know, out in the middle of the ring, you know, and then I just realized it don't matter about what everybody else thinks about Mark Haney. It don't. And it took me, and I'll be honest with you, where I got this revelation, and I have to have this revelation, tell myself every day, was whenever we took a 3-month sabbatical. And I realized, you know what, God loves me, even if I'm not a pastor, even if I'm not performing. He loves me. I'm his son. And that was the greatest, for that 3 months, I was telling people, they were like, they expected me to come back off the mountain like Moses, you know, and shining. And I just come back and just said, God loves me. So I can remember somebody asked me, what was the revelation you got on that 3-month sabbatical? That God loves Mark Haney. I was like, they looked at me like, that's it? You know, but we live in that environment, and was people doing that to me? Some people, but most of it was me. I was putting myself under that yoke of bondage of performance. And when I got out from underneath of that and realized that by faith in God's grace, he loves me, whether I'm a pastor or not. Yeah, he called me to do this, but I don't have to do this for him to love me. Amen? And when you get that revelation, guys, then it just sets you free. It really does. It sets you free. So here's the, give you the, if you didn't get them wrote down, you can write them down now. The 3 keys to overcoming discouragement. Number 1, have a Godward mindset. Number 2, have realistic expectations. And number 3, have faith in God's grace. And remember this, guys, this is the realistic expectation. There's going to be a fight, but you will win. Amen. All right, I want everybody to bow your heads in here this morning. And This is something I do every Sunday, and I make sure that everybody hearing the sound of my voice and those that are going to be watching this online and those that are going to be listening to this on the radio, make sure that you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, because the Bible says that in Romans chapter 10 that we have to confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. We have to believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. And then it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So I want to lead you in this prayer today. And if you've, and this is not about joining a church. It's not about being a member of a church or anything like that. This is about becoming a son or daughter of the Most High God and receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. So even if you are saved today, I want you to repeat this prayer to me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God, and you died on the cross for me and rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins and create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit so I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, amen. Amen. All right, I want everybody to stand up. Jade, I want you to come up here and join me, and I'm going to speak a blessing over you today. If that's the first time that you've prayed that prayer, your very next step that you need to do is to follow the Lord in water baptism, and we can do that up here. We've got a holy hot tub up here, the heated baptistry that we can do that in. But I want to speak this blessing over you guys today, and this is out of Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26 is where this blessing comes from. It says, now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May the Lord give you his peace. May the Lord bless your going out and your coming in today. May the Lord anoint you to fulfill the divine destiny that God has given to you. May everything that is brought against you be crushed by the protection that God himself shall provide. May you be blessed in your health. May you be blessed in your relationships. May your children and your children's children be blessed, because they are the heritage of the righteous. From this day forward, as you submit yourselves to the Christ of the cross, may your lives be filled with joy that is unspeakable and full of glory, and with peace that surpasses all understanding. May your home, as the Word of God says, be as the days of heaven on earth. In Jesus' name we pray and ask it. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have an awesome day and an awesome week. Love you guys. Good to see everybody this morning. Bye, guys.